The title for today's passage is The Seed That Reveals. And we're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. Many of you guys may be familiar with this passage, but before we dive into the passage, I want to just kind of set us up a little bit with where we've been and what we're going to be talking about in this new series, which we will call Decisions and Consequences. Decisions and Consequences, all right? So as you guys are opening up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, I just want to briefly go over what we've been going through. We've been going through the book of Matthew since the beginning of the year, and in the beginning of the book of Matthew, Jesus was introduced as the coming king. And then in chapters 5 through 7, we saw how Jesus was proclaiming the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. He was talking about what this kingdom is like, what it's like to be a part of this kingdom. In chapters 8 through 10, Jesus not only proclaimed the kingdom, but he also started demonstrating the kingdom. As it talked about a lot of miracles that happened during that time, and he sent out his disciples to go and proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom to all the other people in the other cities. And then in chapters 11 and 12, which we just finished up last week, we're asking the question, is Jesus really the king? And is Jesus the king of your life? Is Jesus the king of my life? And we went through a lot of different stories where this question was constantly being asked. Who is Jesus? Is he really the king? And now we're in this chapter, and we're going to spend about a month and a half going over this series, going over this particular chapter, where it's filled with parables. We'll be talking about that a little bit. But in this chapter, there's this constant idea that comes out. This question has been asked, is Jesus the king? You have to make a decision now. And what Jesus will be talking about through the parables is that when you make a decision, there will be some results. And when I use the word consequences, I'm talking about there will be possibly good results, and possibly for others, there will be bad results. And Jesus is wanting to make it clear that there is no middle ground. If you choose one way, there will be good results. But if you choose the other way, there will be bad results. And that's it. And that's what we're going to be going through for the next month and a half or so. We're going to be going through the parables, and we're going to be discovering how Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven and how that relates to our lives. And so let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. And like I said, many of you guys are very familiar with this parable, the parable of the sower. And I don't know about you guys, but when I first think about the parable of the sower, I imagine, I don't know where I get this from, but I imagine Jesus is walking through the field somewhere, and he sees the plants that are growing, and maybe you see this farmer just sowing seed, and Jesus is walking through the fields, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this sower, and he'll be scattering the seeds all over. And that's what I imagine. I imagine him in that kind of setting. But when we look at the beginning of the verse, this passage, what we'll discover is that that's not the case at all. He's actually on a boat speaking to a crowd that's on the shore, on the hills that are nearby, and somehow the acoustics work out so that he's able to speak to a ton of people. And just to help you guys understand how Jesus is even able to do this, I did a little bit of research, and you could do this yourself. Look online, the parable of the sower and the cove, or the cove of the parable of the sower. If you look that up, you'll see like how there's this setting over there near the Sea of Galilee where somehow it's just naturally set up where a person can stand by the shore, speak in a regular voice, and thousands of people will be able to hear. And so it was that kind of setting. Jesus is on a boat, and Jesus is speaking to the crowds. All right, so let's read this passage. We're going to read from chapters 13, verses 1 through 9, and we'll continue from verses 18 to verse 23. This is the reading of God's word. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And we'll skip over to verse 18 now. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Amen. I'm going to start off with a kind of a funny question. Do you look forward to the sermon? I think I heard someone say, yes, okay, that's great. It's okay to be honest. Another question I want to ask, as you think about that, do you look forward to listening to the sermon? Another question that I want to ask is, as you hear the sermon, how do you engage with the sermon? Like, what do you usually do when you're listening to the sermon? And what if I told you that each sermon could have, potentially, it could have a life-changing effect on you? What if I were to say that the sermon can actually, like, it has that life-changing value in it? And I'm not making a false promise, like a false advertisement, you know? What if it was true? What would change about how you listen to the sermon? I'm sure there are a lot of people here that will have different kinds of responses to that question. And even to the first question, like, what do you think about the sermon? Some of us may have this skeptical mindset, you know. I'm not sure that I could fully trust what the Bible says. I'm not sure that I really believe what the Bible says. Some of us may come from more of the point of view of like, that sounds good and I like it, but I need a little bit more evidence. I want to know a little bit more about it. Some of us might be distracted with what's going on in our lives. And as much as we want to sit here and listen to the sermon, there are things that keep popping up in our minds about what happened last night, about the email or the phone call you received recently. Some things are just constantly distracting us. Maybe something about work or the things that you need to get done this afternoon. There are many possible reactions. And so what's interesting is that this parable, what sets this parable apart from the other parables in the rest of the chapter is that it doesn't start off actually by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. It doesn't start off in this way. Jesus goes right into the parable without saying this phrase. But if you look at all the other parables, he starts off by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so what that means is that this parable, this first parable of the sower, it's a little bit different. What is this parable about? This parable is basically about how we hear or how we receive Jesus' teachings. Or as one person put it, it's a parable about how we receive parables. It's a parable about how we hear and how we engage with the teaching of the parable. So, the main idea for today's sermon is that we really need to meditate on God's word. We really need to allow ourselves to think through what the sermon is about. Or we need to really allow ourselves to have the time to be able to meditate and internalize what we're reading from the Bible. We need to allow ourselves to do that. So we need to meditate on God's word. That's the main idea for today. And the way that we're going to be talking about this is, number one, we're going to be talking about the good soil first. We're going to talk about the end, the last soil first. And then we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the second point, which is the bad soil. And then the third point is that this is the parable of the sower. And I'll explain what that means, all right? So number one, we're going to talk about the good soil. Number two, we're going to talk about the bad soil. And number three, we're going to talk about the parable of the sower. All right, I'll explain. So the first point, the good soil. All right, we want to see that if we do meditate on God's word and we really do internalize his word, then we will be like the good soil. All right, so before I dive into that idea, it's a very fairly simple idea about the good soil. So before I dive into that, I want to talk about parables. Because I think that sometimes people have, not sometimes, for a long time, even scholars had a hard time trying to understand how to interpret parables. So just real quick, there's been a long debate about how to interpret these parables. There's one side where people say there's only one meaning to each parable, and the point is just that one meaning. So don't try to make all these other meanings come out of that parable. Jesus had only one meaning for that parable. Another side says, no, Jesus not only has one meaning, but then you have to look at each piece of the parable and see that each piece in the parable actually has meaning in it. This is what we'll call allegorizing. Okay? And there are different scholars in all throughout history that kind of went one way and went the other way. Now, where a lot of the Bible scholars are today is that they say, well, in some of Jesus' parables, it does seem like each piece has some meaning in it, like today's passage. But then in other parables, it just seems like there's only one meaning to it. So what Bible scholars are saying is that actually it's a combination. Some parables are like this and some parables are like that. So just wanted to let you guys know that parables are very difficult to interpret at times. And so we're really thankful when Jesus actually explains the parable to us. And so in verses 18 through 23, we have the explanation of the parable. Now, just to quickly go through today's parable, there are four kinds of soil. And Jesus talked about how the sower, he goes and sows seed. And the way that he does it is there are different ways that people understand the idea of sowing seed. Sometimes people talk about how you cultivate the ground, you cultivate the land, you get the soil ready first, and then you plant the seed in. But then there's another way where you can just go and you just spread the seed out. And so during that time, you can see both kinds of sowing that went on. But the kind that Jesus is describing is that there's a person just walking through the fields and he's sowing his seed. He's just scattering it. And then there are pathways that go through the field sometimes. And so some seeds, they fall on the path. Some seeds, they fall in areas where there's rocky ground. Some seeds, they fall in areas where there's thorns or weeds that are there. And some seeds, they fall on good soil. So that's the basic parable that Jesus gives, and then he begins to explain it in verses 18 through 23. Now, let's talk about the good soil. All right. Um, Some seed fell along the good soil. Let's read in verse 23 what it says. It says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. What's interesting is that you'll see this word hear or see multiple times from verses 1 through 23. Okay, this word hear or see will come up multiple times. And Jesus says that there are those people that will hear the word of God. There are those people that will hear this parable. And who are the people that hear? It's anyone that hears God's word. So that would include all of us here today. There are people that will hear God's word. And then there are different reactions to hearing God's word. Now, I want to make clear that my take on this parable, and there are different takes on it, but my take on this parable is that the good soil is the only one who is a true believer. The good soil is the only one who is a true believer. But the only way that this makes sense is if this parable is describing what we see on the outside, where we don't know a person's real condition in their heart. So all we can see is what's going on in a person's life on the outside, how a person receives the word and how they react to it. And so there are some people that might seem like they actually receive the word, they're actually listening to God's word, and they're like, yeah. But then there are certain results that may occur afterwards where it seems like they leave the church, and there are other people that stay in the church and they're really growing in the word. So again, the way that I look at this parable is it's describing the outer appearance of people and not necessarily describing what's actually in someone's heart. But what comes out shows what is in a person's heart. And so the good soil is the one that really shows that a person is a true believer. Now, how do we distinguish between the bad soil and the good soil? Why is the good soil the good soil? Well, it says that it's those people who not only hear, but understand. Those people that understand. And so some of us, we hear this word understand, and we think, well, anyone can understand. And in fact, a lot of the Pharisees and the people of that time when Jesus was telling these parables, they understood. They understood what Jesus was talking about. It wasn't like a riddle. The parables weren't like a riddle for the people back then. They understood right away what Jesus was saying. In another parable later on in the book of Matthew, it tells us that the Pharisees perceived that Jesus was talking about them. So they understood what Jesus was talking about when they heard these parables. So it's not just, this word understand is not just about comprehending, understanding what Jesus is saying. The word here is talking more about a person that really internalizes God's word and says, I see the truth of this word, and I see how my life needs to change, and how my life needs to be completely affected by this thing that I'm hearing, because I see that there's so much truth to it. It is good news. It is something that I want in my life, and I see how I need to change my way of thinking, how I need to adjust my life, how I need to really make practical changes to live for what this word is saying. That's the person that not only hears, but really understands. And that comes about only if you really take seriously what is being preached or what is written in God's word. It only happens when you really take time to think through what's being spoken about, and you begin to think through your life and you think, how does this challenge me and my way of thinking? How does this cause me to have to change different aspects of my life? And so the good soil is a person that hears God's word and begins to really meditate through it, begins to really think through it. And what happens as an automatic result is is that there will be fruit. And what's really interesting is that Jesus says he indeed bears fruit and yields in all cases 100 to 1,000-fold. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. What it says is he yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, it gets smaller, and in another 30, it gets even smaller. And so what Jesus is saying is that, you know what? What's important is not how much fruit you produce. The fact that you're bearing fruit shows that you are a true believer, shows that you have good soil. And so it doesn't matter. We don't have to feel guilty thinking like, you know, oh, I'm not as good as those missionaries out there. I'm not as good as you, pastor. I'm not as good as whomever, that person that's singing up front that seems so spiritual. I'm not like that. We don't have to make these comparisons. It's not about how much fruit we produce. What matters is that there is fruit. And that's what Jesus is pointing to. If there is fruit, if there is change, then what that shows is that you do have good soil and that the Word of God is producing fruit in your life. That's the good soil. We need to hear, understand, meditate on God's word, and let that produce fruit in our lives. This may be our hope. This may be something that some of us are experiencing. I'm hoping that all of us are experiencing. But sometimes when we look at this parable, sometimes we feel like, I would like to identify with the good soil, but for some reason I feel more like I identify with the bad soil. So let's talk about the bad soil now. All right. The first bad soil, and there are three that are mentioned here. The first bad soil is the path. And the way that Jesus describes it in verse 19 is, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, right there, you see that? He does not understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Okay, so there's a path, and it's hard, and the seed might go on top of the soil, but then it's not producing anything, and it's just sitting on top. And so what ends up happening is that the birds come, or it says here, the evil one comes and snatches it away, snatches the word of God away, and so that there's no fruit. Right? And so, again, it's showing the situation of a person from the outside. We don't know what's really going on in their heart, but it's showing what's going on the outside. It says, it seems like the word is sown in their heart. It seems like it's sown in their heart, but then there's no fruit. They don't seem to understand it. I want to make one thing clear. All of these soils are not talking about people that outright reject the gospel. It's not talking about people that outright reject this gospel of the kingdom. It's talking about people that are actually listening, that are hearing it. And so it's talking about people that call themselves followers of Jesus. The crowds were following Jesus. But what the fruit reveals is what's really going on in their hearts. And so I want us to listen carefully today and think carefully through the things that we're talking about. There's a person who hears God's word, doesn't internalize it, doesn't understand it, and then all of a sudden this word of God that they had in the moment, all of a sudden it's gone. Because the evil one comes and snatches it away. What is it like? It's like a person that's giving out flyers on the streets, right? I'm going to tie this analogy to a modern day analogy. It's like a person that's giving out flyers on the streets. And maybe this person that's giving out flyers, usually they're like, They're not really excited about it, right? But what if a person just opened up a business and they're like, we really have the best product. We really have the best food in town. It's better than anything else that's out there. And I want you to know that we're giving out a deal right now because we're opening up. We're giving out a deal right now. So please come. I want to give this flyer to you, and you can only get this deal if you get this flyer, right? But then you guys all know when people are giving out flyers, how do we react? Some people, they just walk by and they're like, right? Just completely ignore the person. Other people, you guys are nicer. You guys are like, oh, thank you, but no thank you, right? You're a little bit more polite. The person that has the seed fall on the path is like a person that receives it, receives the flyer, looks at it, and says, oh, I guess it's some deal. Well, I don't need it, and then just tosses it. And no longer has that good news for them anymore. That's what that person is like. It's like when we're listening to a sermon and we don't take any steps to remember what the sermon was about. And a person, you know, some of you guys may know this, but they can go through their whole lives listening to sermons and not remember a single sermon. I have to admit myself. There are days in the past when I would listen to a sermon. Sometimes I even preached a sermon. And that afternoon, I would forget what was preached about. Right? I remember before I became the pastor here, I would listen to a sermon. And then right after, during the fellowship hall, I forgot what the sermon was about. It's kind of like that. Where people don't take steps to really take time to listen and internalize what the pastor is preaching about. Or it doesn't even have to be about the sermon. It's during the week when you're reading through the Bible. Some of us, we do our daily devotions and we read through the Bible. We read through a passage. Sometimes we just read through it and we don't even remember what we just read. So a person that has a seed fall on the path is like a person that just read it and then immediately forgets about it, because they didn't take the time to meditate on God's word. This person does not bear any fruit. The second soil is the stony soil. Now, when I think about the stony soil is the kind, what usually comes to my mind is there's soil and there's a bunch of rocks in there, right? And so the rocks are just scattered all over. That's what I imagine. But as I did some research, I found out that maybe it's not necessarily like that, but it's more like, you know, like in modern day, you could think about a place where they have a concrete. Concrete was laid out, but then they wanted to change that into a garden. And instead of taking out all the concrete because it's just too much work, they just get a bunch of dirt and they just throw it on top of the concrete. And you have like a thin layer of soil there so the plants could maybe grow, but then it can't go deep enough. The roots can't go deep enough because there's stone there. So it's a kind of situation where there is soil, but you can't really get that deep. The roots can't get that deep. It says that it springs up. There's joy when they first receive it. There's joy and it springs up, but then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately fall away. All right, so what's that like? It's really interesting. It's a person that receives God's word with joy. Right? So again, I have to remind us, it's not about a person that really accepts Jesus Christ. We're just talking about what it looks like from the outside. They receive it with joy, but then when persecution or when some type of trial comes and it gets tested with God's word and you're like, it just doesn't make sense. I know God says he loves me, but then why am I going through this trial? I know that God says he's in control, but then why is he allowing this evil to happen in my life? And you just can't reconcile what's going on, right? It's like a person that receives the word with joy, but when trial and persecution comes, they wither away. This kind of person, if we were to think about it, is a person that when they hear God's word, when the sermon is being preached, or when they read God's word, all they want is the good news. All they want is the blessings of being a Christian. And they don't want to deal with the trials, and they don't want to deal with those ideas. They're just expecting that if I become a Christian, everything's going to be fine from now on. So when the trials do come, they end up falling away. Let's go back to that flyering example. I just opened up a restaurant. This is really good. Take it, take it. And a person receives it, and they're like, wow, this is great. Man, I kind of want to share with my friends. And then so this person takes it and says, look, this is a good deal. And then they take it to their friends, and the friends are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're falling for that. Don't you know that all they just want your money? That's why they're saying they have these deals, but just you watch. The food's not going to be that good, and it's actually going to be pretty expensive. And they start feeling all this like persecution because of this flyer that they received. And then the reaction would be, oh, I guess you're right. I'm not going to go to that restaurant. And they just throw it away. This kind of person does not bear fruit. The third soil is where the seed falls among thorns. And it says in verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. All right. So this is a situation where the plant, it seems like there is enough space for the root to go down. And it seems like they are kind of thinking through the issues. But then the plant grows up, and then there are all these thorns that are surrounding it. The thorns are stronger. They kind of take away all the nutrients and everything from the plant. And so the plant is unhealthy, and it's not able to produce any fruit. So what is that like? That's like a person who hears God's word, a person who listens to a sermon, and then says, wow, yes, that really sounds good. I really want that. And yes, I like that. I understand that there will be trials. And I think that's all a good idea. But then this person is constantly filling, their thoughts are filled with the worries of this world, the cares of this world, or the deceitfulness of riches. Or as Luke adds in the parable of the sower, the pleasures of the world. And so it's kind of like, if you think about it, it's like a person that says, yes, I want to serve God. Yes, I want to go to church. Yes, I want to do these things. But my business keeps me busy. Like, I have to take care of my business. Like, if I don't, then my business is going to go down. So, sorry, Pastor. I got to go take care of my business. Or it's like some of those people that are like, that are so excited about their vacation, that as they're sitting here in the service and they're trying to listen to the sermon, and they're like, yeah, that's good, but then, man, I'm so excited about my trip next week. And you just keep thinking about how you're planning about that trip. It could be something like that. Or the cares of this world. As you're sitting here, maybe there's something that's going through your mind and it's just constantly distracting you. And you're thinking about your family at home. You're thinking about this illness. You're thinking about something, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of this world, that keeps you just constantly being taken away into these things where all of your attention is on that, and you don't have time to internalize God's word. I felt this all of the, like, I feel this all the time. In the mornings is when I try to do my quiet times. I try to read God's word, and I try to take some time to think through the ideas of it. But then, man, I'm so tired in the morning sometimes. Or there are these thoughts that are filling my mind about how my day is going to go. And so I just constantly get distracted. It's like the person that receives a flyer and says, wow, I want to go. Yes, I want to go. I'm going to go. And then they go to work, and then they forget about it. And then they pull out of their pocket. Oh, yes, I got to go. And then they run into a friend. They're like, hey, yeah, because it's fun. Yeah. And then pull it out of their pocket. Oh, yeah, I got to go. I want to go. Yeah, it's kind of like those situations where you see a person, and you're like, hey, we should meet up. Yeah. And you never do, right? It's kind of like that kind of situation, right? There are these things that constantly distract us, and we never do what we say we're going to do. This example might be applicable for some of us. There was a time back in the past where at my previous church in America, and actually I have a friend here today that's from that church, there are times that we had a service and then the other congregation that had another service earlier in the day, they would not have a service and they would be in the fellowship hall. But it just so happened that it was a day where the World Cup game was going on. And so as the game's going on, a lot of people that are in the service are trying to listen to God's word, but then they're constantly thinking about what's going on with the game, what's going on with the game. And it didn't help that when the game was going on, all these other people that already had their service, every once in a while you hear this, "Oh, yeah!" And we're in service and we're trying to focus and we hear this, "Oh, ah!" And we're just constantly being distracted. As we hear about all these different soils, some of you guys might be identifying with some of these. I know I do. I identify with a lot of these. And one interesting thing is that one commentator said that no matter how much, I mean, we should be striving. We should be striving to get rid of all these thorns, to get rid of all these distractions. We should be striving to focus and like internalize what God's word is saying. We should be doing that. But like I said, one commentator says, no matter how hard we try, there will always be some thorns that are still left over. We'll constantly get distracted. Our hearts are deceitful beyond measure. Who can discern it? We will fail and fail and fail to really focus and to really internalize so that we're really bearing fruit. It's a struggle that I believe all of us Christians face. No one here can say that, yes, I internalize every single word and I'm producing all kinds of fruit. I'm bearing 100-fold. Poor 30-fold person, you know. There's no one like that here. There's no one like that. And some of us might hear this kind of message and we might feel, oh man, does that mean that I'm not really a Christian? Some of us might hear this and feel like, oh man, I need to really try harder now to meditate on God's word. I need to try really hard now. But we'll fail over and over. And here's the third point. The third point is that this is the parable of the sower. It's not the parable of the seed. It's not the parable of the soil. It's the parable of the sower. It's the parable about how Jesus Christ is coming and spreading his word and that he will produce fruit in his field where there is good soil. His work will be accomplished. The good news is this. God doesn't require us to hear and understand only on our own strength or on our own power. The good news is that even our ability to hear and understand, even our ability to believe is a gift from God. I want to read a couple passages for you guys that comes from the book of Ezekiel. And for those of you that may be taking notes, you can write down Ezekiel chapter 36 and Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to get excerpts from it. But it's really interesting what these passages talk about because it talks about how God, out of his love for his people, because of his power, even though all of God's people turned away, he was going to do a work to change their hearts. He was going to be the one to change the situation. It's the parable about the sower, not about the people, not about the soil. And these passages talk about how God says, I'm going to do this work in your lives. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 8 through 11 says this. But you, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they will soon come home. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply people on you, the whole house of Israel, all of it. The cities shall be inhabited and the waste places rebuilt, and I will multiply on you man and beast, and they shall multiply and be fruitful. And I will cause you to be inhabited as in your former times and will do more good to you than ever before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And continuing on from verse 25, now, just right now, he was talking about the mountains of Israel, but now he's going to directly talk about the people of Israel. In verses 25 and on, it says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And then in Ezekiel chapter 37, he talks about how this is going to happen. It says this in verse 21. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone and will gather them from all around and bring them to their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. And they shall be no longer two nations and no longer divided into two kingdoms. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols and their detestable things or with any of their transgressions. But I will save them from all the backslidings in which they have sinned and will cleanse them. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. God will do his work. And he will accomplish his work in our lives. We don't have to worry. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry that you are one of the bad soils. We may look like that here and there. But when we do, we always have the opportunity to turn back to Jesus Christ, to run back to him, and remember that the work on the cross is finished, that all of our sins are forgiven, that he gives us his righteousness, and that we are counted as beloved, precious children in his sight. And that act in itself is the fruit that's being produced in our lives. Jesus will work in our hearts. He is the King that has come. And he's the one that brings about the change in our hearts. So Jesus will bring a lot of reminders. Every time we come here on Sundays, it's another reminder to turn to Jesus. And there will be many reminders. So whenever the word does come, don't harden your hearts. If you feel the Lord tugging at your heart, convicting you to obey him, then don't delay. Obey on the spot. Turn back to him. Decide to do what the Lord desires. Now, I want to end with a couple practical ways to meditate on God's word. How do you meditate on God's word during the sermons? Number one, this is just a suggestion. This doesn't work for everyone, but it's just a suggestion. It's not a requirement. You could try taking notes. You could just jot down your notes, put it into your phone, have a journal where you could jot down your notes so that if you forget, you can always look back at it and think about it some more. Another thing that you could do is right after service, you can go to Triangle Park. A lot of people came out to Triangle Park last week. You could go to Triangle Park, bring your food, and just discuss what the sermon was about and how it impacted you with other people. Or even if you don't go to Triangle Park, take some people along with you to lunch and just talk about the sermon. Another thing that you could do is go to your community groups. And in our community groups for this quarter, we've been discussing the sermons. And so it's a good way to just keep thinking about the sermon. Another thing that you could do during the sermons is ask questions. Like if you have a question that comes to mind, send it in our line message in our church line group. And my phone might be buzzing up here, but that's okay. Just send your questions. If you have anything that impacted you, you're like, wow, that was a really good point. Send me a message and say, hey, that was, I really appreciated this. Just keep interacting with the sermon. And after every sermon, what I ask us to do is I ask us to pray whatever God places on your heart. And it's a good time to make a commitment and say, Lord, after hearing this sermon today, I want to commit to doing this. And then share that commitment with someone else. But take the time to pray and commit to the Lord, something, whatever that might be. What about during your times of reading the Word? During the week when you read the Word on your own, or when you maybe you might listen to a sermon or whatever, how do you internalize? Journal. Again, this is just a suggestion. For me, I found it really helpful to journal and just to write down what I'm learning and to write down my prayer. I actually write down, Dear God, this is what I pray today in Jesus' name, amen. So at the end of my journal every day, now every time I do journal, there's an amen at the end. So that's something that you could try. Another thing is just have times to listen to music, Christian music, and just let that speak to you and just internalize that. And just set aside time to have a devotion time. Set aside time to do that. All right. Keep thinking through the sermon. Let's meditate on God's word together, even now. Let's pray. Take some time, whatever God places on your heart, to go before the Lord. Maybe some of us, we need to confess our sins. Maybe you heard nothing that I said in today's sermon. If that's you, just go before the Lord and say, Lord, just speak to me whatever you want to speak to me at this time. And just take it before the Lord. Take some time to pray right now and we'll continue on with our service.